Would you now turn again to the portion of the word that we read together, John chapter 19. And reading this morning at verse 25. John 19, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and his disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. Mary, the mother of our Lord, should ever be given a high place in our Christian thinking, in our Christian understanding. She should ever indeed be honored. After all, she is declared from heaven as being blessed among women. And while we are all aware of her worship of her at times by others, we are not to go down that road, but nevertheless, sometimes we are not as aware of how blessed she was and how we should honor her in the way that we ought to. We find it here at Calvary, showing her love and her loyalty, along with the other woman, among which was told here, Salome, and we're told elsewhere at least of Salome and others, who some believe may well have been a cousin of Mary and the mother of John. Some take that from the different accounts we have in the different Gospels. But here she is now, this other woman, faithful to the end. After all that she had seen and heard, she is now found in this revered company around the cross. And while, as we said earlier, she is not to be worshipped, nevertheless, we should be should highly respect her and honor her. Not as the Roman Church does, of course, and I think sometimes that we react to that far too much and keep away from speaking about her at all. She is not the mother of the church, or the emphasis on the mother of God, as if it is only through her that we can approach even Christ, the God himself. And indeed, the church is said in Galatians chapter 4 to be the church, the mother of the Lord's people. So there is an emphasis on her at times, a wrong emphasis on her at times, but it doesn't mean that we should in any way ignore her. And we see here how the Lord Jesus himself, how he considered her. And here, with all these other women, were willing to suffer reproach for the sake of the Lord Jesus. And when you think of the society at the time and how the women were not respected maybe as they should have been at times, at least, but especially also as we see later on with the bravery and the heart for the Lord that Mary Magdalene and Mary's went to the tomb. Here also, coming to this crucifixion and obviously being identified there and would have been known as those who were supporters and followers of this Christ who was now crucified. and yet willing to suffer any reproach that came that way, to be there at this time with that beloved Lord Jesus. And as we see here also and consider the scene of the Lord Jesus Christ there hanging on the cross. And here he is now, and to one side he looks on both sides and he sees the thieves, to one he speaks to one, "Thou shalt be with me today in paradise." And even looking down, and he sees those who are putting him to death there, and yet he prays, "Father, forgive them." And he also sees, of course, the woman who were there, his mother, there below the cross. And as he hangs there between these two thieves, and he looks down and he sees the woman there, but especially surely, and as we see in the text, he focuses on his beloved mother that was there. Friends, the importance, is there not, as well, to hear the word of the Lord. She heard what she heard. She was directed in the way that she was, as John was, because they were there. And the importance, friends, to be where we know that the Lord himself has promised to be. Where is that? In the gathering together of God's people. And that is where particularly the play. That's not to say that the Lord cannot speak to us in our quietness, wherever we may be, alone, whatever. But we can be sure he is speaking to us when we are gathered together in his name, as we are here today at the means of grace. And here they were. And what a means of grace this became also for them, for Mary, and for John as well, particularly. So then, to look this morning at what we have brought before us here about with Mary and the Lord Jesus. And we see, first of all, Mary's natural love is good. And then we'll consider, secondly, Mary's spiritual love is better. And thirdly, Mary's spiritual understanding is necessary. So first of all, then, some thoughts about her natural love, which is good. Now, we all know, of course, that we've spoken about often enough how it's not here when he says to her, "Woman, behold thy son," not mother. But yet he uses the word mother to John, that he doesn't say to him, "Behold this woman," it's "Behold thy mother." He was not being callous here at all. He was not being uncaring in any way whatsoever, but rather, as we shall see later, showing to Mary and making clear to Mary here, while he loved her on a human level, that there was going to be a difference. While he loved her as he did, as her son, nevertheless, there was a change coming. And there was to be a separation now in her thinking as how she was to view him and how she was to consider him. Yes, she was unique, being who she was. But what made her unique was that he himself was who he was, that he was unique. He was the one who made her his mother, not her of her choosing. And so there is that relationship that was there at the human level was good, but also now she has to change in her thinking about him. And what we see also here is the keeping of the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. So that aspect is still there with him. And he never, that aspect was never lost. Even as things change, as we shall see, there is nevertheless this bond that is there, this natural love that is there, and a natural love that is good, and that in this way here, with him particularly, was a perfect love for his mother. And no doubt, as he is since hanging there, and you can imagine as he looks down at Caesar, that there was a sense where he would have suffered because he would see her suffering. It would be evident to him that she was going through things here as well. And you can imagine as he is there hanging, and you can imagine her heart there also as she is looking up upon him. A mother seeing her beloved son crucified. A mother seeing, and this mother who had heard so much before, who had pondered so many things. And now she sees this awful experience that he is going through. And at the same time, would he not be aware of the holy truth that a sword shall pierce through thy soul, as he would look at her? And just as even here looking up, would she not also remember that this was prophesied as well, of the sword? At the very outset, you remember, even before he was born, that this would be the situation, that he would suffer, and then being prophesied afterwards time and time again as well. And she would have seen him as he came to his public ministry particularly. We don't know what happened before then, how much even then that what he was came across, to, particularly in his family circle. But she would have seen him being mocked. She would have seen him being despised by many. She would have seen him being maligned. She would have seen him being hated by many down through the years. And as it were, would she not have felt, as it were, then in his suffering, the sword going deeper and deeper and deeper into her own soul, to see the Lord Jesus going through these things as her son? And yet her love, we are sure, didn't weaken or falter in these situations. Her human love even would have, even in these circumstances, would they not have grown stronger? If we can use the idea, and it's only just, and we cannot enter into the same thing, but you imagine here, you yourselves, your mothers here, or loved ones here, and you see your children going through, then you would do anything for them. You would even take the pain, as it were, on yourself for them. And so can you imagine what she is going through here? As she sees the one she knows, and she would look back, I'm sure, on his life, and while the other family or others around, there would be things seen in their lives, but there was never anything that she would find fault with, because there was nothing to find fault in his life. And yet here he is going through all these things. Oh, friends, how she suffered, how she loved in her suffering and suffered in her love for him. And he himself, she knew as well that he loved her, and she knew that he loved her perfectly. They loved each other, the perfect, holy love. Of course, true love was his for her, not hers for him. Yes, her love would fluctuate at times nevertheless, but even then, I doubt if greater love could have been found on a natural level in the whole world than was for Mary, for the Lord Jesus. For everything she saw about him would have stirred up a human, perfect, nearly perfect love for him, as perfect would be, because there was no fault to be found in him. And what a bond there must have been between this lovely woman and this Jesus. She would now probably have believed at around 50 years of age at this time. And here she is now seeing what he is going through. Here he is now, and he's bearing the sins of all his people, which included Mary's. And this is what she had to come to understand. But there was a depth, was there not here, an astonishing depth of love on a human level that we now hear in his words, Father, as he commits her to John at this time. Here he is in the midst of his own suffering, in the midst of her own suffering. And oh, friends, how much this must have broken her heart in all that is going on. And broken her heart also to see how he cared for her. in the midst of his own suffering. And so before the darkness fell on the cross, here now he ensures his mother is taken care of. Because surely also he knew that there was still an agony to come in his experience that would, as it were, take up his whole thinking and his whole mind. Because he was then, he had to go through that darkness that none could enter into with him. Not even his beloved mother could enter into it with him. And so before that darkness came, he commits her to John. But he knew that he would be consumed there with grief and anguish as he paid the penalty for sin. And so before then, he does this. That there, as he would meet the demands of the law, yes, even a broken law, the broken law of his beloved mother, as well, that she would have needed to be saved from. Ah, yes, he left nothing, friends, undone, including showing perfect love and perfect care for his dear mother, even in this awful situation that he faced. But friends, we also see in what he does that earthly ties, important as they are, to even to this day, they need to be seen in the light of heaven itself and the heavenly ties above all else. And so here, woman, he is, as if he say, you are now to see me no more the way you did. See me now on a spiritual level. See me now and yourself as a member of the body of Christ. See me now as one who loves you and who is forgiving your sins, and not just as my earthly mother. See me as the one that you need as the Savior now, as I commit you to John, but also as I give myself in your womb and stead. And as we see earlier, he honors the law, but also divine justice is met and satisfied. And that was something that she had to understand. She had to understand it. Whatever her bond with her beloved son before, there's an aspect of here now that we don't know how much she understood down through the years when she saw what she saw and heard what she heard. But there comes a point now, surely, where something, as it were, now comes together for her. And so that natural love is good. Secondly, Mary's spiritual love. Oh, it is better. It is better. We read here his care for her then, that Jesus saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, saith to mother, woman, behold thy son. Standing by. It's an interesting thing that the idea here of standing by wasn't just that Mary was somewhere in the crowd and John was somewhere in the crowd. The words here, standing by, is literally standing by her side. And what a picture that gives us, doesn't it? That John, the beloved disciple, it was as if he was caring for the mother of Jesus. He is beside her. And you can imagine the picture there. That, as it were, he was supporting her there. And so when the Lord looked down on the cross, from the cross, and he sees them there together, and he makes this statement and this gesture. Here he is now. Here is where you will find comfort. Here is where you'll find human comfort in a way that I cannot give and will not and cannot give any longer. Some writer has said very quickly, only John was written, only the name of John was written in his will, and he bequeathed to him his most precious earthly possession. That lovely. Here he is now. And here she is now. And with our understanding, Lord, has been opened more and more. Now, while this was an act of human love in what he does, there is certainly more to it than just that. All he was came for. But is there not something else here as well? That he is putting her over into the care of another. And that he is having John in his own place, caring now for his mother. As one of the writers, Schilder, puts it, Christ here, in a sense, is substituting himself with Mary here and John, whose place is taken by another. An interesting thought, that as well. And also what he had to do, what he was born of Mary to do, what was true of it. It was something that had to be done alone. And not even his beloved mother could help. He had to tread the winepress alone. And even his nearest and dearest couldn't do anything for him in this situation. They couldn't. While his mother on a human level loved him like none other could. No, there is something else coming in here that she had to understand. Not even she could help him or be allowed in any way to distract him. He had to do what he came on his own. He had to face what he faced on his own. As the high priest, it is said that those who know the Jewish customs, it is said that the high priest, when he went in into the Holy of Holies to give the great offering, the annual offering, when he went in there, that nothing was allowed to distract him. And he said that even if any, whatever emerged, even the death of a loved one, or any situation, even the death of a loved one, of the high priest, was not allowed to distract him from going in alone to do that great offering, as he had to do in the Holy of Holies. And isn't that a picture of what we have here as well? That nothing was allowed to distract him from going in and offering the great offering as he entered into particularly these 3 hours of darkness. And so he puts himself into this greatest act of love ever seen. He puts himself into this furnace of affliction for all his people, and for Mary as well. It was as vital for Mary as it was for you and I, if we believe today. So here he is now, in a real sense, puts himself away from all pressure, away from even Mary's loving eyes upon him as he hung on the cross, into isolation from all these things. He sends Mary into a situation where she will be comforted and helped, while he steps himself into the crucible of suffering for his people alone, into what in his holy experience, friends, we have to remember this, he was never entering into in his holy experience something that was hitherto unknown to, that he had never experienced before. Here he is now. And so this has been taught truly in his dealings here with Mary at this time. Here he is now going through this awful experience for all his people and for Mary. And the lesson here for her is that there is in front of her now, revealed before her eyes, and in even what he said, an act of love to be seen beyond what she had ever, ever personally experienced before. And would she not say, can you not just say it and understand? And she was, oh, I thought I loved him before. And I do, and I did. But oh, how I love him now, as has he also as my Savior. How much she understood before. We believe that she understood much. But surely there must have been a time, as it was for the disciples. I think of the disciples that they were with him, and they were, if we say, a saved people. But there was an opening of that understanding and a realization that only came indeed for them after the resurrection. And for Mary, there was something surely of that here as well. There was a growing in her understanding and in her growth of these matters. And oh yes, she could say, I loved him for who he was. My beloved son, not so. But oh, now she would love him more, as she would see better, if I can put it that way, the spiritual aspect of what he was doing for her. And so the old relationship, precious as it was, now is seen in a different light and accepted, maybe even though as being secondary to the reality of the spiritual relationship and the spiritual love that is seen here. Now she is to love him as her Lord, to love him as her Savior, more than as her son. And by the Holy Spirit's work in her life, she will be enabled more and more to do so. Not that our love for him, let's not think, friends, that our love for him as a mother diminished. I don't believe that it did. But we can put it this way, it was added to, and it was overtaken by a spiritual love. A spiritual love that she now experienced. I don't believe either, of course, that it was now that she was saved, but it was here, as I said, the disciples are a perfect example. When an understanding comes in that hadn't been possibly there before. There was a love. There was, you know, some people, and you might be here this morning, and you have a strong natural sympathy, even though you're not a Christian. You have a strong sympathy, as it were, for the Lord Jesus and what he said. Indeed, it's nearly at times bordering on love. But friends, unless love comes to you for him from seeing him as a Savior, it will ultimately be of no benefit whatsoever. How much sometimes your heart can go out and people do, and some of us maybe before we came to know the Lord, that we sympathized with him and thought many good things of him. But even that, friends, is of no consequence, except we see spiritually, with spiritual eyes, what Christ has done and why he came into this world. And so we see that natural love is good, spiritual love is better. And thirdly, we see that Mary's new understanding is necessary. It's necessary. As ours must be. It's interesting that after we read from the upper room after the resurrection, if that human love was still to the fore, you would think that we would read first of all about him coming and going straight to Mary or Mary to him. But it's interesting how it's recorded. We are recorded about the disciples' work, told about the disciples' work there, and then it tells us that Mary and other women were there also. And so from that time, obviously, it is seen that there is a difference in the relationship. She had seen his agony on the cross, and she would feel it in herself. But to some degree, although she felt it like another. Whose disciples have her now to understand the glorious purpose of his death? And so he is showing to her in giving her, as it were, to John to care for her as he would have cared for her, that there is a difference coming in, and it is necessary for her to see him now in this new light. You see, the physical relationship is of no consequence. You know, you and I, friends, as some Jews today might be able to trace back their line, as it were, as some of them do to Abraham or try to. But even if we could do it to Jesus, there is no salvation there. And there was no salvation for Mary in being the Lord's mother. You see, for example, we have read about his brethren. If you take them as being his physical brethren, they were for a while, they were in the same home as him. That did not save them. We know, of course, later that some came to salvation. So the physical aspect of it is of no consequence, truly. The natural union needs for Mary to become that spiritual, mystical union. And we believe it did. We believe it did. And as you see, as Paul says, when he writes to the Corinthians, speaks about, it's not about knowing after the flesh, but after the spirit. And we have no record of any contact whatsoever, of direct contact between the Lord and Mary after his resurrection. No word of the natural relationship, but she is found amongst those who are followers, spiritual followers now, of the Lord Jesus Christ. The relationship now, she believes, she comes, I believe, to recognize that with a joyful heart is a spiritual relationship. And she sees him now in a different way altogether. And not in any way either, as it were, claiming him for herself alone. Not in any way jealous of others following and believing in him. And so there's something of that also in your own life. When you come to know the Lord Jesus, the last thing you want to do is to keep him to yourself. You want everyone to have, to share in him. No Christian is jealous of other Christians loving the Lord. Indeed, it's the other way around, is it not? That's a mark of the true believer as well. To, as it were, have, we can put this with sharing with everyone else. Come here, I'll tell what he did for my soul. And so it is, friends. But Mary here, the physical, natural bond and union is in a sense secondary now. As I said earlier, I don't believe it would ever be broken. But you see, now she recognizes with a joyful heart. Oh yes, she had heard so much down through the years. She had seen so much. She had thought of deep truths that she had heard at his birth and afterward. But now her eyes, as it were opened wider, and she understands now as never before who he was and what he was doing and why he had to die. As he now hands her over to John. Isn't it interesting, by the way? And I don't know the answer to this, but maybe some of you can think about yourselves, that he didn't commit his mother to John before his arrest, which he could have done. And or he didn't wait till after his resurrection now to say, well, things are different now. But it was at this time. Something for yourselves. I thought about it, but I cannot say that I've any light on something for yourselves maybe to consider. So friends, by being where our love was at the cross, she was blessed. By God's Spirit, through what Jesus does, she would now have a new depth of understanding of the purpose and the reason of it all. You remember earlier on, we read about it in Luke, you know, Luke there, that she pondered these things that she heard in her heart. Later on, we read that when they were looking for the Lord Jesus, a child, and said, "Must you not? I must be about my father's business." What do we read about that? She kept all these sayings in her heart. I think we could say now, she could be saying, "Ah, yes, it's all becoming clear to me now. These things that she pondered, these things that she kept in her heart, these things she must have been considering. It all becomes clear now in the most unexpected way to see her beloved being put to death on the cross and yet see his love and his care for her in what he was doing there. All these things now coming clear to her. And what now was the sword that pierced her own soul? She would say, what's that compared to the sword of holy justice that he has to endure, and that she is surely now recognized what was happening here. That sword that pierced her own soul now is, as it were, like a pinprick compared to what she now saw he was doing and bearing the agony in her womb and in her stead. Here he is now, bearing her sins. Yes, she had known, and the agony of seeing him being maligned and despised and now crucified. But then, surely there was a spiritual change in this as well. He is doing this for me. Not just as my beloved son, but as my beloved Savior and sacrifice and Redeemer and substitute. So, dear friends, we see her understanding being opened. Great love, a natural love was there. And that is good. And there's a lesson there for us all. But there was something better, which is a spiritual love. And you are a Christian here today. Again, I say, when you look back, and there was a time when you respected Jesus and you thought good of him. And that was good. But it wasn't enough. But the day came in your experience when your eyes were open and you had a spiritual sight then that you never had before. And that was better. And then the full understanding came with that as well. And how you rejoiced. It's a strange thing, isn't it? That you're able to rejoice and see someone suffering and dying for you. It doesn't in one sense make sense. But you know and understand why now. Because of your own sin and your own need that you couldn't meet, and God's law and demands of God's law that you couldn't meet. But he did this for you. And so I believe that Mary would come to that understanding. Not that she loved him any less than a human level, but she loved him more on a spiritual level than she had ever done before. And all of us here, and you, dear friends, here today, still may be without Christ. You have known of Jesus, the children here know about the Lord Jesus. Always have known about him, brought up with him, I pray, from youth or childhood. But the question is, how do you know him? You know of him, but do you know him? You might even have a fondness for him. That is bordering, I said, on that, when you read about him, a bordering that kind of love. But that's not enough. In what way do you, if I can say, love him? In what way do you understand what he did? You know, in these next few weeks, many will be, or a few hours maybe, contemplating his birth. Dear friends, there is no salvation in just his birth. Wonderful as it was necessary, but there was no salvation in it. Don't stop there. What must we do? What must all do? Go to the cross. Go to the cross. That's where we see it, wasn't it? Spurgeon, who said, whatever my text is when I'm preaching, I always try and find a shortcut from it to the cross. And that's the same, friends, for this. Whatever you are reading, go to the cross. Find a shortcut to the cross. That is what is necessary for us. What are you to do to join with the people of God in adoration and worship? Where? At the cross. Where for us? At the means of grace, where we pray Christ is ever brought before us in the preaching. And that is where your spiritual understanding will grow. That's where your spiritual understanding can be found nowhere else except the cross. There can be no spiritual understanding. We preach Christ crucified. That's what's necessary to understand that. And that's what you and I and all must do here today, to be found there, where Mary was found, where our human love was overtaken by a spiritual love, where our eyes of our understanding were opened, and where she came to worship and to follow, not because of a human or a physical relation, but a glorious spiritual. And you, dear friend, today here, without Christ today, that's the answer for you as well. And you, Christian, who know something of this, don't wander away from the cross, because that's where you will see what you need to see to keep you going to that great day that inevitably will come when we will see Jesus face to face. Can you say today that you are looking forward to that great day? Are you prepared for it? Amen.